Would you turn to Philippians chapter 3, please? Philippians chapter 3. We want to take a few minutes in the scriptures to look at this section of Philippians. The last time we were together, we discussed verses 1 through 3, where Paul, I believe, is talking to one group of people, naming them in three different terms. And we saw that in chapter 3, in verse 2, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." Now, what's the reference there? Well, the reference, I believe, is to the Judaizers. He references them as dogs, evil workers, a concision. Now, in calling someone a dog, I don't believe he was slandering them. He was going with the idiom of the day. That is, dogs ran in packs. Dogs were undesirable creatures. They were scavengers. And that's essentially what the Judaizers were doing. They were picking at the weak, the unsuspecting. So they would run as a pack of dogs, trying to gain weak brethren or gain those who had a knowledge of Christ and did not come to that knowledge as of yet. They were evil workers. They brought in satanic heresy. And then he referenced them as the mutilators, the concision. That had to do with them wanting people to obey the law of Moses and be active in circumcision and keeping of the Mosaic law. So the apostle is warning of these Judaizers. Then he runs into a statement in verse 3, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Literally, you could put before circumcision, we are the real circumcision, the real sons of Abraham. We are the real keepers of the law, not the Mosaic law, but the law of God unto Jesus Christ. We're the ones that are honoring God with our life. They claim to be, but they are false teachers, and they are trying to add law to grace. And so he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this is where we want to take off for a few minutes together, because we're not talking about a group of men who were cult-like. We're talking about some distinguished individuals. These men who came had a pedigree to them. I'm familiar with hunting, and I know my father used to raise hunting dogs. And to raise a really fine hunting dog, you had to be careful of his pedigree. Who was his mother? Who was his father? What was their family heritage? Comes to picking a wife, anyone will do. But when it comes to a dog, you have to find out, just exactly what they're all about. Pedigree, it mattered. Well, these men took particular stock in pedigree. They were very interested in pedigree. And they had stature behind them. They had letters behind their name. They were outstanding men in the community. They were men of high esteem. And Paul let them know, wait a minute. That only goes so far in life. That doesn't go all the ways, you see. You may have a letter, but how is that letter earned and deserved? And how does it reflect Jesus Christ? So Paul picks it up in verse 4. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath any reason which he might trust in the flesh," and then he makes a statement, "I more." Paul had pedigree. Paul had an incredible amount of reputation behind him. Deserved, earned reputation. Paul had a position in life that required some respect. "I more," he said. And I want to look at that a little bit today, because I think forgive me, the older you get, the more you reflect and look at these things, so you'll have to give me a little bit of room in this. But in our day, most of respect of position has gone out the window. It really has. And it to me, some of it is sad. Now, I have lived long enough to have lived through a time when CEOs of large corporations, senators, representatives, and presidents even many, many pastors have shamed their position. They have terribly shamed their position. And usually it's with an unrestrained lifestyle. So they have shamed the position, but with that shame, it is transferred into and mingled in a knee-jerk reaction in that their position and their person have mingled together, so we do not respect an office. And there's something sad about that. I want to look at a couple things, if I can, about that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, please. Matthew chapter 23. There are some offices that are to be respected by you and by me as New Testament Christians. And so we need to be careful that we do not, because someone has dirtied or stained that office, we do not disregard the office or respect the position. We need to be careful about that. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his Jewish disciples, and he's talking about Pharisees. Remember, an Old Testament Jew had to obey the law. They had to be, it was without question. In the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, they had to bring sacrifice. They had to be part of circumcision. They had to keep the Mosaic law. They were bound by that. It wasn't an option. It was required. Our Lord Jesus sacrificed. If there's anyone that didn't need to, it was him. But he did. Why? Part of the Mosaic law. He paid Mosaic taxes, did he not? He paid taxes to Rome, with which money would be used to murder him. But he kept the law, because he was required to do so. And so Matthew is talking to, or the Lord Jesus is talking to, through the book of Matthew, about the law. Notice in chapter 23 and verse 1. Then spoke Jesus unto the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What was that? It was a place of position. It was a place established by God in the temple worship system. They sit in Moses' seat. Now, the place of scribe and Pharisee was not necessarily an Old Testament position, but it came from the priesthood and was mingled into that. But nonetheless, they were teachers of the law, and they were in the temple worship. All therefore, whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do. You see, the position was right, but the condition of the positioners was not right at all. Why? Notice, for all that they observe you to do, that do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. So the position was to be esteemed. It was established by God. It was the priesthood. And it was to be honored. Why? Because it was a position established by God, an honorable position. The men in the position were not honorable men, but the position itself was honorable. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 for a moment, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, did that make them better men than anyone else? Of course, the answer is no. They're not better men, but their position was a position of honor. In the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2, I want you to notice, please, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's pick it right up in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Let me begin at verse 11. Whereas angels, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Peter. Let me get to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Having your behavior honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that in well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Now please notice this, honor all, and that the reference could be all men, all positions of all men, honor all. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then he goes on to say, servants, be in subjection to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the perverse. So this is not a place in where I'm to claim my rights. You have a right to do this. You have a right to do that. That's not what God is saying. These people didn't have any rights. They were to honor the authority that God had put over them. Not only the good authority, but the bad authority. Where does he say that? Well, servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the perverse, those who are not right. For this is thankworthy if a man in conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So the term here is the honoring of the position that has been placed over us. You don't always need to honor the man in the position, but the position is the place that God wants us to recognize. Now, I want you to notice that we're not only to honor them in our daily functioning with them, but we're also to honor them as far as praying for them. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and notice what he says in verse, we'll pick it right up in verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for, my Bible says, all men, everywhere, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So we're to pray not for their condemnation, but for their souls. They're an authority. We may not like their authority necessarily. We may not appreciate the person behind the authority, but we are to pray for that authority established by God. And you know, of course, we won't turn there. We don't have time to do that. But in the book of Romans in chapter 13, God has established justice in the world to condemn the wicked and to uphold the righteous. Now we know in some cases and conditions that turns, but God still wants us to obey the authority put over us until or unless they ask us to do something obviously that's contrary to the word of God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, you're right there. Pick up verse 1 please. This is a true saying. Paul wants to affirm that to Timothy. Now, what is he affirming to Timothy? Remember where Timothy is at Ephesus. Timothy's in the middle of a mess. And the mess is there are elders at Ephesus that are not teaching the word the way they should. Vain jangling, some of them are going after. They're trying to spread among flock there their own theology. Acts chapter 20 tells us that even some of their own are trying to seek disciples after their own selves. So Ephesus is somewhat of a mess. And Timothy is sent there to straighten out this area of Ephesus. But then he says this, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, episkopos, the presbytery, we would call them shepherds, we would call them elders, we would call them pastors. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. The term there is a noble work. It's a work of nobility. Some men have shamed that work. Some men have embarrassed the name of Christ with lascivious lifestyle. But that doesn't change the office. It does. It's a noble calling. It's a wonderful calling. And so, at times, we hear things said about Christians, and particularly about Christian leaders, in a disdaining way. Why? Well, because some men have shamed the office. And we understand them saying that, and we understand why they're saying that. But the office is still right. The office of pastor. It's a right. It's a noble calling, Paul says. As a matter of fact, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, we'll just pick it up really quickly in verse 12. You know this text very well. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them who are among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. See, the term is to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, it's the position of an elder, the position of a pastor in a local assembly. And it appears that that position now has reached a place of disdain. It shouldn't among Christians, but it does. And so that when it does, it demeans the position, and it demeans the position in the eyes of our young people. And some men say things about pastors that can discredit the office of a pastor just because that man has done so. And it discredits them in the eyes of our young people. I've had occasion where, I've been outside and some young man will walk by and say, "Hi, Bill, how you doing?" Bill, the least he should be calling me is Mr. Krosick. That's the least he should call me. And I'm a pastor. But why? Well, it's because the attitude of the office has so diminished that people don't have respect for it anymore. And they think somehow by demeaning the office, they can gain some kind of ground or something. For example, you take a man like Dr. Whitcomb. He said to me, "You can call me John." He said, "I don't think I can do that." Dr. Houghton. He said, "Would you please call me Myron?" I don't think I can do that. Well, he's Dr. Houghton. He earned that. He worked hard studying, not for his own good, but for our good. He worked hard at that with 3 or 4 earned doctorates. He deserves us to call him Dr. Houghton. Why? Well, because he's better than me? Yeah, he is a little. It's because he earned the right, because he worked so hard. And I believe the same thing for our pastor. We should reference him as Pastor Rob. We should really look to that. Why? Because he's a shepherd. Is he in it for the money? I don't think so. If he is, I don't know about it, and I got to figure that out. But that's not it. But it's the humility that comes with it that's important for us. If he wants to be called doctor because he thinks he's something, that's a problem he has, right? But if he deserves the title, then we ought to do that. Wanting it and deserving it are often two different things, aren't they? We had a doctor, and I used to go and see him in this our local area, Dr. Bennett. I never called him anything but Dr. Bennett, because he's my doctor. I had respect for his position in this world. When I get to meet the president, when he finally wants me in to ask me some advice, I'll call him Mr. President. I won't say Barack. "Hey, Barack, how's it going?" Now, Mr. President, Now, I don't necessarily respect him as a person, but his office is to be respected. And so that's what you and I are to do, is to honor. Now, honoring the person for the position is not necessarily what we're talking about. We're talking about honoring the position. Let's look at something quickly if we can. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus in chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. There's another place that I want us to see together in the book of Leviticus in chapter 19. Look with me, please, at verse 31. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. These would be persons that would be involved in demon worship. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear the Lord God. I am the Lord. This has to do with respect for our senior saints, older people. The hoary head, you know what that is? That's someone who doesn't buy the stuff to make it unhoary, you know, after a while. It's gray hair. That's what it is. And it's not respecting a guy just because he has gray hair, but for his age and maturity. That's what it's respecting. Age and maturity. Experience. I have a friend of mine that went to a house, and he was repairing something in a house, and this man was a professor in a secular college. But he was a professor, and he had a couple of earned doctorates, and he was in his late 80s. And my friend was talking to him, and my friend said, "How's it going?" He said, "Well, it's pretty sad." I said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Well, I have all this education, countless years of education. I have all this wisdom, and nobody asks." It's sad, isn't it? Nobody asks. Why? Well, because we've taught, in some cases, younger people that older people don't matter. You don't need them. They're just old. And so we have to have respect of older people. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Lamentations in chapter 5. You know the Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. As he looked at the nation of Israel, as he looked at all of what went on, he's back in that land and he's looking at it, and it just looks like a burnt out area, and he's discouraged with it. And so the tears of Jeremiah. But notice in chapter 5, if you would please, chapter 5, and look with me at verse 12, chapter 5 and verse 12. Princes, these would be the people that were rulers in the nation of Israel. Princes are hung up by their hands, and the faces of elders are not honored. Some of the lamentations that he had. Here were the great men in the nation of Israel, the Simeons, and those men that would be honorable men. They didn't dishonor their office. Others might have, but they didn't dishonor their office. And their faces were not honored. We need to honor people. Tonight, we're going to honor Frank and Melody, Frank Morrow. He's one of those honorable men. I don't want to embarrass him, but he's honored his position. Since I've known him, he's an honorable man, and his wife is an honorable woman. Those are people we need to honor for what they've done, for their sacrifices, particularly their ministry to us. Now, of course, there are some people in some positions and they like it. You know what I mean? They want that. They demand that honor from us. Turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 12, please. Their position may be honorable, but they may not be honorable people. In the book of Romans, in chapter 12, notice this, please, if you would, in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, and here's something very important, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to, as God hath dealt to every man, the measure of faith. To think soberly. This is to recognize your position. If you've been given a position of an elder or pastor, you're not better than everyone. You need to think soberly about that. There are some men who, in John, the third John of the little epistles, John writes, he's coming to see Diotrephes, he says, who loves to have the preeminence. See, that man you couldn't honor. He was apparently the pastor of the church, which was an honorable position. And from what I get from 3 John, when John says, I'm going to straighten the whole thing out, so we wouldn't have to worry about Diotrephes anymore once John landed. But recognize this, it was a place of preeminence, that is his position. But the man himself was not an honorable man. Gaius was. John mentions him as an honorable man. And you have the Lord Jesus saying, beware of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They love the chief place in the feast, don't they? They love for men to call them rabbi, rabbi. But, he said, honor their position because they do what? They sit in Moses' seat. It was a position of honor. Now, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Titus. And we're running out of time quickly here. But in the book of Titus, we want to go a little further. The book of Titus in chapter 2. When it comes to the hoary head now, the older man. What about that place? Well, Titus, of course, was sent to the island of Crete. And Crete was kind of a mess as well. I would have hated to work with the Apostle Paul. I would have loved to meet him. Love to be around him, but hate to be sent where he sent these people. Imagine his two young men, Titus and Timothy, sent to straighten out some areas of apostate Christendom. And here's what he was to tell the older men. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become or healthy or sound. Speak the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober-minded, grave, temperate, sound in faith and in love and in patience. So he said, teach the older men. Now, what was going on? Well, I don't know. There's some men that just grow older and never grow up, right? Some men get silly and some get crabby, you know. They just don't act like mature Christians ought to act. So he said, you need to help them not to be silly, not to be crabby, but to be balanced. Not demanding respect because they're older, but deserving respect because they're older. And there's a difference, isn't there? Between someone who demands respect and someone who deserves respect. It's a shameful thing when you can respect a person's office, but not the person in the office. And so we need to be careful, do we not? Older women, the aged women, likewise, that they be in good behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. For what reason? That they may pass on their godliness to others. So the position was to be honored, older men, older women, but their position was not demanded, but earned. An earned position. And so there are so many people in the scriptures we could look at. Paul said to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians started thinking of themselves very highly. And Paul said, let me ask you a question. What have you gotten that wasn't given to you? And if it was given to you, in my words, how can you brag about it? How can you brag about it? God has given each one of us spiritual gifts. For us to go around boasting about it is first sin, secondly a loss of reward, thirdly despicable. For us to brag about anything that God has ever done with us and for us. It's okay to give testimony how the Lord's using us, but to brag about it is something altogether different. And I haven't heard anyone do that. I'm not saying that. But all I'm pointing out is, if God gives us the position, if God gives us the energy, if God gives us the supernatural power to impart the gifts that He's given to us, who are we to brag about or want some kind of false honor in them? Well, Paul now is going to continue on, and we'll look at this the next time we're together. He's going to go on and say, listen, if these men brag about their pedigrees, I more. And we're going to look at Paul's pedigree. Apparently, he was quite an individual. But he says, all those things that were gained to me, I count for loss. Excrement, imagine that. A dung heap for the excellency of the glory of God. You see, all our achievements in this life pale into insignificance when we look at the next life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Help us, Father, to honor those who are deserving of honor. Father, help us to honor the offices that you have established. We are unhappy with much that goes on in our state, our local, and even our federal government. But Lord, you have established these offices. You've given men positions. Their whole will is in your hands. You can move them wherever you wish. And Father, we pray that we would not pass on to our children, to young people, a disdain for an office that you have established. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, as we look at the pedigree of Paul, to understand that though he achieved much, yet he cast it all before you. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.